from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
It's Friday, everybody. Hello, Todd Starnes here. Hope you're doing well, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our great national show broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we're going to have some fun today, folks, talking about all the crazy big stories out there, no doubt about that. But we're going to have some fun as well. Today is Open Line Friday. Also, we're going to be throwing out some fun trivia today to test your knowledge in the entertainment world, so that'll be a lot of fun. And we're just going to have a leisurely, as much as we can be leisurely, stroll into the weekend. Now, I want you to write down our telephone number on this Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, let me explain how this goes. You old-timers, you get it. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can ask me whatever you want to ask me. And if you disagree with something I've said, well, even on Open Line Friday, you go right to the top of the lineup. That's how we do things here. So a couple of stories. And first, right out of the House of Representatives, just a little while ago, there was a vote on a resolution honoring the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk. It was a beautiful, beautiful resolution sponsored by the Speaker of the House himself, Mike Johnson. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read a portion of it. But before we do that, I'll let you know that it did pass and that there were Democrats who crossed over and voted with Republicans. But 58 Democrats refused to vote. They rejected. They voted against Charlie's resolution. They voted against honoring Charlie Kirk. But they also did something else. They voted against condemning the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Because here's what the resolution said. It condemned in the strongest possible terms the assassination of Charlie Kirk and all forms of political violence. So those 58 Democrats are okay with Charlie being assassinated. Those 58 Democrats are okay with all forms of political violence. The resolution also commends and honors the dedicated law enforcement and emergency personnel who worked tirelessly to find the suspect involved in the assassination. They voted against that. They also extended their deepest condolences to Charlie's wife, Erica, and their two young children. By the way, word came out yesterday she's expecting a third child, a child that will never know his or her father. The Democrats, those 58 Democrats, refused to honor or offer condolences or sympathy to Mrs. Kirk. And also, they called upon all Americans, regardless of race, party affiliation, creed, to reject political violence, recommit to respectful debate, uphold American values, and respect one another as fellow Americans. Those 58 Democrats, they found that statement to be offensive. Offensive. So they voted it down. I'm never speechless because I'm a professional talk radio host. I could always find something to talk about. A chatterbox. But I find myself beyond words. I find myself grasping to find the right words to describe my contempt for the Democrat Party right now. The fact that 58 Democrats, by the way, there was another resolution. Remember when the Minnesota lawmakers were gunned down in their home by that radical moron? Remember that in Minnesota? That resolution passed unanimously. And again, I go back to this idea that the Republican Party at the core value, the central value of the Republican Party is life. That's it. And if we can't get that one issue right, we can't get anything else right. Which is why I believe that the Republican Party is the only choice for Americans. Because the Democrats are the party of death on many, many different levels. They are. And It grieves me to say that, but it is true. Now, among those who voted against this, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, the leader of the Democrat Party, she is, it's not Hakeem Jeffries, who, by the way, to his credit, voted for the resolution. It's AOC. She is the one leading the party right now. She is a radical leftist, and here she is explaining why she refused to not only honor Charlie Kirk's life, but also she refused to condemn political violence. Take a listen to Cut 17.
Today's resolution only underscores the majority's recklessness by choosing to author this condemnation and honoring on a purely partisan basis, instead of uniting Congress in this tragedy with one of the many bipartisan options to condemn political violence and Kirk's murder, as we did with the late Melissa Hortman. Instead, the majority proceeded with a resolution that brings great pain to the millions of Americans who endured segregation, Jim Crow, and the legacy of bigotry today. We should be clear about who Charlie Kirk was, a man who believed that the Civil Rights Act that granted Black Americans the right to vote was a mistake, who after the violent attack on Paul Pelosi claimed that, quote, some amazing patriot, unquote, should bail out his brutal assailant, and accused Jews of controlling, quote, not just the colleges, it's the nonprofits, it's the movies, it's Hollywood, it's all of it, unquote. His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant, uneducated, and sought to disenfranchise millions of Americans. Far from the working, quote, working tirelessly to promote unity, unquote, asserted by the majority in this resolution. It is equally important that Congress does unite to reject the government's attempt to weaponize this moment into an all-out assault on free speech across the country. All in the name of Charlie Kirk, President Trump and the FCC are now cynically threatening to shut down ABC and any outlets who give airtime to the administration's political critics. This is a disgusting attack on the American people and the very First Amendment rights that define us as a country.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. AOC explaining why she believes in political violence in America. Look, there are a lot of preachers out there I've been following. I've actually had to unfollow so many evangelical Christian preachers over the past week. These people are nothing more than radical leftists who are poisoning their pulpits and spewing woke garbage to their congregations. And it's just shocking, the numbers, just shocking. But I've got to tell you, I am so tired of these woke preachers and the mainstream media and the Democrats and even some Republicans trying to advance this narrative of both side isms. I'm tired of it. I am done. Ladies and gentlemen, 58 Democrats refused to condemn political assassinations in the House of Representatives. Do you understand what that means? 58 Democrats believe it's okay to go out there and shoot somebody you disagree with. It's beyond absurd. It's beyond some sort of a dark comedy. This is a very dangerous time in American history. And by the way, within the Democrat world, those numbers are only going to keep going up. Those numbers are going to rise in the coming election cycles. So it's a big mess. It's a big mess. And you Democrats, you got to figure out what you want to be, because right now we are heading down a dark path in this country. The idea that 58 Democrats believe it's okay to use violence to silence a political opponent, that's just unacceptable. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. It was nearly 2 years ago that terrorists murdered more than 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 hostage. Today, it seems as if the cries of the dead and dying have been drowned out by shouts of anti-Semitic hatred, and the most brutal attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust has been forgotten. Yet, as the world looks away, a light shines in the darkness. It's a movement of love and support for the people of Israel called Flags of Fellowship, and it's organized by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And on October 5th, just a few weeks away, millions across America will prayerfully plant an Israeli flag in honor and solidarity with the victims of October 7th, 2023, and their grieving families. And now you can be a part of this movement, too. Get more information about how you can join the Flags of Fellowship movement. Visit the fellowship online at ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. You know, AOC went on to say this about Charlie Kirk. It's just so vile. It's this woman is demonic. I mean, this is evil here. This is not humans. Humans don't talk like this. They can't talk like this. She said we should be clear about who Charlie Kirk was. His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant, uneducated, and sought to disenfranchise millions of Americans. This is evil. And the fact is that the exact opposite is true, of course. It was, in fact, the Democrats. And whenever the Democrats get up and then accuse the other side of being something, they are the ones who are, in fact, whatever they're accusing the other side of being. They're the ones who have disenfranchised millions of Americans. And we know that from Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa just a couple of days ago, Operation Arctic, Arctic Frost. Operation Arctic Frost, where the FBI was covertly investigating nearly 100 conservative organizations, including Turning Point USA. And we've got no clear indication from the FBI what precipitated the investigations. Why is it were they targeting Charlie Kirk? Why is it they were going after Turning Point USA? And I would contend when you look out and yesterday at, for example, Colorado State University, Fort Collins, there were 10,000 people in the stands. Charlie was supposed to be there. The event got canceled, but 10,000 people still showed up. This is happening all over America, and I'm telling you, we're watching a modern-day American revolution unfold, and it's rolling across the nation. And the Democrats see this, and they don't know what to do. They can't stop it. So what they're doing is they're resorting to violence. And when you're a Democrat in the House of Representatives and you stand up there and you vote against a resolution condemning political violence and political assassinations, that tells me that you're endorsing it. There's really no other. There is no other explanation. These are evil people we're dealing with. And God hates evil, and so should we. Here's Congressman Steve Scalise on the vote today and the Democrats who voted no. Take a listen to Cut 18.
Yeah, it's a shame that that's where their party has moved. It's not where America is. I mean, my gosh, we've seen such an outpouring of love for Charlie, what he represented, the idea that we should be able to debate freely even when we disagree and do it in a civil way. And that's what Charlie did, and it's what he represented. It's why you're seeing millions of people that maybe never heard of him thinking about things differently. But, you know, what happened on the House floor, those members who voted no, I thought it was disgraceful. I mean, just paying tribute, paying honor to his life that was taken away by an assassin. You know, that's something they've got to answer, not me.
Yeah, look, and hear me on this. I don't hate AOC. I hate the demon that has possessed her. That's what I hate. These people are possessed by demons. And we have got, that is a spiritual problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness. That's what we're fighting up against. And that's why those people are going out there. They are deceived. Deceived. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And by the way, just to give you an example, Jasmine Crockett came out just a couple of days ago. And she was really fired up about this. Well, I'm the most peaceful person I know. I'm just the most peaceful, loving human being I know. And she was flapping the eyelashes so much you could see like a breeze forming. I've never seen like that. There she was, Jasmine Crockett, just shucking and jiving.
Just shucking.
Hello. Yeah, so Jasmine Crockett is out there, and she's talking about how she's never called anyone a Nazi. She's never called anyone a fascist. She's just preaching the gospel. I'm a preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Jasmine Crockett. Really, take a listen to this. Cut 16.
But we got to come together because it's not each other that is the problem. It's the other side. It's the fascist. It's the wannabe dictator. It is, you know, the hater in chief. It is the racist in chief. Like, that is like what we've got to get out of. And so I think we will.
Yeah, there you go. That's Jasmine. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, well, maybe that was just like an oopsie moment for Jasmine Crockett. But I don't think so. Because Jasmine Crockett has a history of not only going after conservatives, but really dehumanizing conservatives, right? So we've been playing this audio over and over again, but we have some new audio. She sat down for an interview. And Dylan, I know that you cut all this audio and you see Jasmine there, and she's doing her, like, it depends on what Jasmine you get. You're going to get white Jasmine or you're going to get, like, ghetto Jasmine. And there's no rhyme or reason to which one shows up. Hello, I'm Jasmine Crockett, and I was educated at Rhodes College, and I'm a very well-educated woman. To put the shut to the up, let me ask you a question. You're like, wait, what? What happened here? So I don't know if we have like a white demon and ghetto demon, and they're like battling internally for the soul of Jasmine Crockett. I don't know what is going on there. We need to figure it out because, again, I don't hate these people. I don't loathe these people. I loathe and hate the demons that are possessing them, whether it's a white demon or a ghetto demon. I don't know. But anyway, again, here is Jasmine Crockett shucking and jiving once again. Cut 14.
I talk to black folk all the time as somebody that's a child of a preacher. Listen, most black people are not Republicans simply because we just is like, y'all racist. I can't hang out with the KKK and them. That's really what it is. But when we think about who we are as black people and we think about where we come from, most black people have very conservative values, right? But the reality is that, like, we just can't side with, like, the neo-Nazis in them. We not dealing with y'all like that, right?
Hello. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, these people. I mean, it's insane. And nobody ever calls them. Nobody. No, you can't call them out, because if you do, well, all of a sudden you're a racist or a xenophobe or a homophobe or whatever. So these are all the people that believe it's okay to engage in political violence to silence your enemies. This is what we call part of the assassination culture. There is a story. Where is the? Oh, yes. Oberlin College, that's in Ohio. There is a student there by the name of Shu. Miss Shu is from Connecticut. She's a communist, and she is also a member of the gender, hold on, I got to get this right here, the Gender, Sexuality, and Attraction Initiatives Board. I don't know what that is. It doesn't sound good. Anyway, she said that we need, the problem in America is that we don't have enough political assassinations. So this woman here at Oberlin College, Julia Shu, is calling for even more political assassinations. The university issued a statement.
Why, we can't believe what was said here by Ms. Shu. We're a good, wholesome college, and we don't advocate for assassinating anybody.
Well, that's all well and good, but, I mean, are the students safe on campus? I mean, what happens if Ms. Shu decides that, you know, she's going to take action here? I'd be a little nervous. Just a smidge. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800- 839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. You know, one final thing about Jasmine Crockett.
Demon time.
This woman and her pal AOC.
Demon time.
Yeah, they're demonic. I mean, that's all it is. It's demon time. Anytime those two get up to speak anywhere, it's, what was that again?
Demon time.
Demon time. You got that right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Last night, Scott Jennings. Wow, we've got like Jasmine Crockett wannabes. And to use the vernacular of Miss Crockett, they is popping up all over the place. It's unbelievable. I want you to listen to, I think this is the one, cut 15, please.
One thing Brendan Carr told me today, and it is true, that the current regulatory regime as it exists is set up by the United States Congress, 1934 Communications Act. And he said, we're going to enforce that regime as it stands. And he said, if they want to change it, if they want to make different rules, if they want to change the way these systems operate or the regulatory thing works, we'll abide by that. But right now, in his view, Congress has set up a system. They're enforcing that system. And until Congress changes it,
Scott,
that'll be what they do.
I have to say.
Well, I actually talked to Brendan Carr today, too, for about 20 minutes. He brought up a similar concept, but it was in the framework of these local affiliates who have to live by these public interest rules finally getting a chance to push back against the networks, the programmers. It was his view that for too long, the programmers, the networks had had too much power over these affiliates and had basically been able to boss them around. We have to live by these rules. We have to live under the public interest rules. We don't, you know, particularly like to air this. We're the ones hearing about it from our viewers and from our advertisers, and we're finally pushing back on it. Well, I think what he was saying that they're upset about is that all of their viewers are complaining and all of their advertisers are complaining.
All their viewers aren't complaining.
The few that Jimmy Kimmel has. And they're getting all these complaints. They're not making any money on it. They're facing enormous financial pressures.
They're not
pressures.
Making any money on what?
Selling advertising. Nobody wants to buy advertising on this
these
show.
These late night shows.
Nobody? You say all and nobody.
I'm in this business. I'm going to tell you right now. That's where they give away the freebies at night. Trust me. He has a clear point of view here, which is that these groups that own these affiliates, and I think the two companies are Nexstar and Sinclair, they own over 60 affiliates, that they, independent of anything he was doing, had made a decision that it was no longer in their best interest to have Jimmy Kimmel on the air.
Wait, they suspended Jimmy Kimmel?
Well, they told the network that they would not air it. So when you
how
take
does that
60,
lead to Kimmel suspension?
When
though?
You take 60 television stations that won't air something,
guess,
the network has
I
to make a decision.
I guess my point is that.
All right. Well, that was the wrong cut. But I'll get back to Scott Jennings in just a minute. But let me say this about the Jimmy Kimmel situation here. All right, Jimmy Kimmel was failing. His ratings were plummeting. The guy was making between $15 and $18 million a year. That's his salary. We're not talking about any other salaries, the production costs, none of that. I mean, we're talking tens of millions of dollars here. Tens of millions of dollars. And the reality is they weren't making enough money. The audience was gone just under, get this, in the demographic, and the demographic is, we're talking that younger demographic, only 200,000 people watched Jimmy Kimmel. Do you understand that Greg Gutfeld over at Fox, and I'm fairly certain he's not making $18 million, I'm fairly certain of that, Jimmy Kimmel was making $18 million. So while, yeah, Brendan Carr, the FCC chair, really, really said something he shouldn't have said. The decision by ABC had nothing to do with what Brendan Carr was talking about. None whatsoever. And it's sad that all of this is happening the way it's happening. But the reality is that this had nothing to do with Donald Trump. This had everything to do with a financial decision based on ABC. And I'll give you an example of that. So just the other day, you had the former chairwoman of Paramount. That's the owner of CBS, right? They've canceled Stephen Colbert's show. Sherry Redstone sat down and she tried to explain to all of these leftists what was actually going on here. They're not bowing down to Donald J. Trump. This is all about finances. Cut 19.
The cancellation of Steve Colbert's show, you know, that was never explicitly stated as being part of getting regulatory approval, but it's something that I think a lot of people assumed. Do you think that they made the right choices to ensure that they got the regulatory approval?
I'm not going to tie any of that to regulatory approval. I can tell you that we had been looking at late night. It was financially not viable. It had been that way for a long time. We had made a decision months prior to the announcement that we were not going to be going forward with that show. I love Stephen. He does a great job, but we really needed to be in a financially viable business. And you saw we did that with James Corden as well. And in terms of DEI, I think the reasons why DEI exists matter. And will always matter, and we need to continue to fight for those issues. But I think the way in which DEI has been executed has often led to more problems than it solved. So any of the changes that were made or continue to be made, but under us, I think we were trying to create an environment that would address the issues in a different way.
So there you go. I mean, that is the ultimate explanation here. And by the way, those folks over at CNN, they're about to find out as well. When the advertising goes away, so do jobs. I mean, it really is that simple. I mean, it is. It's that simple. It's all a matter of dollars and cents. If the money's there, the advertisers are there, everything is great. And if not, they got problems. And they had problems at ABC, just like CBS. And as you heard, they've had to cancel their late-night programming and their late-late-night programming. So, look, the Wall Street Journal got an inside scoop on what was actually going on behind the scenes here. And it turns out that had Jimmy Kimmel not be pulled off the air, had he been allowed to go on the air last night, he was planning to double down and go after President Trump and Turning Point USA and the MAGA crowd. And ABC was trying to have these internal conversations saying, dude, you've got to back off here. You've crossed the line and you have got to back up and read the room. And Kimmel simply refused to do it. And ABC, and we're looking at different layers here. You've got the network, and they're dealing with their issues. So you've got the network, and then outside of the network, you have these local affiliates. And the local affiliates, like, for example, if you are, in Atlanta, you've got a local ABC affiliate. Was it WSB is your local ABC station, I believe. So the local ABC stations are getting the angry call saying, you know, we don't appreciate Jimmy Kimmel coming on here and cramping all over Charlie Kirk's dead body. And we sure don't appreciate you attacking President Trump, the man who is mourning Charlie Kirk. What is it that Kimmel said, that Trump was behaving like how a four-year-old would mourn a goldfish? Why is that? It's not funny. What he's saying was not funny. He was mocking people. And the local affiliates were saying, you know what, this is not worth it. So you had two major television companies. You've got Nexstar, and you've got Sinclair. They own together hundreds of local TV stations around the nation. And they said, you know what, that's it. We're pulling the plug here. ABC starting to get really nervous because a lot of those stations are in major markets. And guess what happens if you're in a major market, like in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago? That's where you make the most money on your advertising. And now all of a sudden, they don't even have shows in those markets anymore. So ABC was really in a pickle. And they had no choice but to do what they did. And Kimmel was not backing down. As a matter of fact, he was going to become even more aggressive. And the Democrats are wanting to launch investigations. Well, that's all well and good. But it's the Democrats who, by the way, urged the networks to get rid of Roseanne Barr. They urge social media to ban Donald Trump and to ban a lot of other conservatives. And those decisions were based entirely on politics. What happened to Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert is entirely financial in scope. And I'll tell you why. Because all the people that run those networks, they share the same value system that Stephen Colbert and little Jimmy Kimmel have. Every single one of them. I have no doubt that Sherry Redstone loves Colbert. They probably go to the same cocktail parties together. But here's the challenge. As much as Sherry Redstone is a raging liberal, you know what else she is? A very wealthy woman. And she likes her lifestyle. And she doesn't want money coming out of her pocket to go into Stephen Colbert's. And that's what it is with these people. It's all about the money. That's all. So there you go. Jimmy Kimmel refused to play the game. He threatened to double down. And my question to all of the leftists out there, all right, well, if Jimmy Kimmel was allowed to go on and say whatever he wants to say, and they completely tank the network and they don't have any money to pay bills, are you okay with an entire network imploding? One way or the other, Jimmy Kimmel was coming off the air. One way or the other. I mean, it really is that simple. The broader issue here is that, first of all, a lot of young people are just not watching TV anymore. Jimmy Kimmel's not funny. He's an angry man, and he's mean. The guy, I mean, he's done blackface. I mean, that's racism right there. I mean, if you want to play that card, I mean, that's, you know, the guy routinely dressed in blackface, mocking black people. And also, there was some sketches that were certainly offensive to the hashtag MeToo movement. Don't want to get into that tonight. But that's sort of where we are. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Here's the deal. Donald Trump can be Donald Trump, but the people in his administration cannot be Donald Trump. And Brendan Carr was trying to be Donald Trump and got himself in trouble. He said something, and again, what ABC was going to do, ABC was going to do. I don't think the FCC chair was going to have any influence on them at all. Not in this story. They were already taking care of business, and now it's become a political hot potato. It doesn't need to be, and it never was, but that's where we're at. All right, we'll be right back.
Objection is tendered. I recognize Ms. Crockett for unanimous consent.
Yes, Mr. Chair, since I wasn't allowed equal time to debate, I have a UC. It is from, it looks like Yahoo News. It says, Charlie Kirk suspect's grandma says family is all MAGA.
Without objection, so ordered. Chair recognizes Ms. Green from Georgia.
Mr. Chair, remember out of UC as well.
We'll recognize you next time. Chair, Ms. Green, it's your 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can assure you that the man, the 22-year-old man, Tyler Robinson, that murdered Charlie Kirk is not MAGA. His family may be Republican, but all of the evidence that is being presented proves that he is a far leftist, very much integrated in online groups that are linked to Antifa. He was in a relationship with a biological male, so-called furry, whatever that is transitioning to be a fake woman. He was not MAGA, not one bit. That is a complete lie. And it's an insult to every single Republican and person that identifies with those type of politics. We will not tolerate it. And that is the exact type of language that is getting many of us death threats day after day, and led to shootings on the baseball field where Steve Scalise was shot. This is what led to President Trump nearly being assassinated this past summer. This is what has led to Charlie Kirk being assassinated. And so I just want to give a warning there. We're not going to tolerate that anymore.
Mr.
You know,
Chairman,
something else we're not going to tolerate is crime. On August 11th.
All right. Well, okay. We won't hear the end of that. Let me just say this about crime. Oh, where is the Jasmine Crockett? So Jasmine Crockett is talking about crime. And she said, just because you commit a crime doesn't make you a criminal. Let me say that again. Just because you commit a crime doesn't make you a criminal. Well, that's great, because just because you go to college doesn't make you smart. Unbelievable, these people. Just unbelievable. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Yesterday, after the show, and you know, a lot of times, a lot of the talk hosts, after the show, they go home and they decompress. I've got to do the Newsmax TV show, and then I normally have an event or something around town that I've got to do. And last night, I was invited to be a part of this big welcome celebration, welcoming the National Guard to Memphis, which we're all very excited about. And we'll keep you updated on the developments there. But I'm telling you, the criminals, I'm not sure if they understand what's about to come down. But the wrath of God is about to come down on the bad guys here in Memphis. And so last night we had a huge rally, and it was unbelievable. I mean, people came out. They were wearing red, white, and blue. They had flags. There was such a beautiful spirit. The Democrats held an event in downtown, and it looked like the bar scene out of Star Wars. I mean, they only had, like, I think 20 people, and they were all angry. They were irritated. Hygiene, somewhat questionable. There were no flags. As a matter of fact, one guy was wearing a communist shirt. Unbelievable. So compare and contrast with the beautiful gathering of Republicans. Everybody smelled good. You could be downwind, and you know how it is. Come on. We've all, Hashtag patchouli. You know. So it was a beautiful moment. So then our state senator invited me to come up and say a few words, and I think this is the right one. Cut eight.
That wouldn't have happened without some people working. Senator Blackburn deserves a lot of credit for that. But I tell you, matter of fact, I see Todd Starnes here. Let me tell you about Todd Starnes.
Yes.
He is the conservative blowtorch of the Mid-South. And he is the Trump whisperer. He had President Trump on KWAM, and he asked the question, will you consider Memphis for federal trip? Todd, come on up here and tell us about that.
All right. That was a lot of fun, though. And we got to meet a lot of our great listeners. And again, it is so exciting to see conservatives mobilizing together once again. And by the way, it was a bipartisan thing. Democrats showed up last night wanting to be a part of the effort. So I think something exciting is happening here. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to something I said at the start of the show. We're not dealing with the political battle here. We are dealing with a spiritual battle. And I don't hate the Democrats. I just their party has become possessed by demons.
Demon time.
And we've got to do something about that. And we need to exorcise. It's not even a political exorcism. It is literally a spiritual exorcism. And well, you know what I mean by that. But I'm just saying, not circumcision. That's a whole different issue. No. This is like exorcising the demons out of the Democrats.
Demon time.
I'm just telling. Do we have to pay per mention, Dylan? That's going to get expensive quickly, because there are a whole lot of demons in this country. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we've got trivia on the Todd Starnes Friday edition. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us. So House Speaker Mike Johnson, just a few seconds ago, weighed in on this insane thing that just happened in the House of Representatives. 58 Democrats refused to condemn political violence. 58 Democrats refused to condemn the assassination of Charlie Kirk. What does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? What does that tell you about the state of affairs in the United States of America? Here's the House Speaker.
We passed a resolution to honor the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk, my late friend, the friend of so many in this chamber, and we called out political violence in America. In fact, I want to read with you the final line of this resolution, because I think it's something that the American people are eager to hear. It says this, quote, "The House of Representatives calls upon all Americans to reject political violence, recommit to respectful debate, uphold American values, and respect one another as fellow Americans." Sadly, a number of Democrats could not bring themselves to vote for that. We have to let everybody make their own judgments about that.
Wow. There you go. That's the current state of affairs with the Democrat Party, ladies and gentlemen. And it's really sad, and it's really unfortunate. We have got a lot going on this hour of the program. We're going to be doing some trivia this hour as well as the next hour. We're also going to be jumping into what's happening in these schools around the country. And one of them in the Houston area, and this is a very disturbing story, from Stratford High School. This is from the Houston area. Moms for Liberty in Harris County actually exposed this story. Now, there were students at Stratford High School wanting to start a Turning Point USA chapter. And, of course, to get any kind of a club, you have to have teacher sponsors. And so in this particular instance, they had two teachers that were willing to step up, and they said, you know what, we're happy to support this group. And that's when the problem started. So apparently some liberal teachers found out about it, and they doxed not only the two adult sponsors, the teachers, but also the students in Turning Point USA, and they sent an email, a memorandum, to every student in the school and every parent as well, basically doxing the kids and the sponsors. Now, Moms for Liberty got their hands on the correspondence that went out by these Democrats, and they basically, that was not a Freudian slip. They are Democrats. And the mob, they set this mob upon the kids and the students to bully the teachers into backing out of the club sponsorship. They're saying that Turning Point is a political organization, and the teachers who sponsored the organization were clearly making a personal political statement. Were they really, though? I mean, let's just say that you're the sponsor of the math club. Does that necessarily mean that you're a math nerd? No. It could just mean that, you wanted to help these kids out. But hold on a second. What if they do share the viewpoints of TPUSA? So what? It's not against the law for a teacher to be a conservative, is it? I mean, it's an anomaly, but it's not against the law. Unless they're saying that only teachers are allowed to spew left-wing talking points. So the email was filled with all sorts of lies and hatred about Turning Point USA. Said they were anti-female, anti-black, anti-Muslim, anti-gay. You know the drill. The Democrats in Harris County, Texas, said students would be irreparably harmed by teachers who support an organization that supports hate and division. Which is ironic, because this is a political party where 58 House leaders just voted to endorse political assassinations. This is just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. By the way, last night, our good buddy Judge Joe Brown dropped by our big Welcome to Memphis rally for the National Guard. And it's been so exciting around here. There's a sweet spirit in Memphis, and we've got all these restaurants and bars and clubs, and they're just opening up their doors to the National Guard troops, feeding everybody. You've got ladies' clubs, and they're wanting to lend a helping hand. You've got people wanting to we've been getting a lot of messages on the Todd Stern Show. Todd, do the National Guard troops, do they have a place to stay? I feel bad if they're having to sleep out in a sleeping bag somewhere. I've got a spare bedroom. We can fit a couple of National Guard troops in the guest room. It's so incredibly kind. And look, the National Guard troops are going to be well taken care of, no doubt about that. But just the generosity, it just does my heart good. And I think it's really done everybody's heart well, because that's who we really are in Memphis. And the reality is that an overwhelming majority of the black citizens here, 84%, are excited about President Trump bringing the National Guard to town. Meanwhile, you have the black leadership of Memphis, and it's really interesting because they're the oppressors. They're the ones that are oppressing the black community. It's a black-on-black oppression. And it's really sad to see, but people are, boy, are people waking up. Let me tell you something. People are waking up, and it's exciting to see the numbers. Last year, I think they said they had 50 registered Republicans in the local Republican club. Now it's almost 300. I mean, people are waking up. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here. High Point, North Carolina. Bill, listening to us on WSJS, great radio station. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Todd, it's a wonderful day to be an American.
Yes, sir, it is. What makes it a good day for you to be an American?
I'm going to throw that out there. This past week, you were talking about when you had Judge Joe Brown on. You were talking about, oh, we ought to get Judge Joe Brown back on. And I'm thinking, well, I remember back in the day of the original MTV when they had Downtown with Julie Brown, I was thinking maybe we could have Downtown with Judge Joe Brown.
Ooh.
Atlanta. Downtown with Judge Joe Brown, Memphis. We could make a series out of it.
Oh, I like that. So we could just send the judge. We could franchise him.
That's right.
I like this idea, Bill. You know, the judge, when you listen to the guy, he makes a lot of sense.
He does, which we need today. We need today. And let me ask one other thing out real quick, Todd, and I'll get off the phone here. This goes back several weeks ago. You were also trying to come up with a name for the illegal immigrant detainment center in Tennessee. And I thought about Dollywood up in the Smoky Mountains. I thought about all the barbecue in Memphis, not as good as North Carolina. But anyway, I thought maybe we could name that place the Smoky Pokey.
The Smoky Pokey.
Todd, God bless you, and take care, brother.
Bill, I'm so happy. I'm going to let the barbecue slur slide. So thanks a lot, Bill. Wow. The Smoky's Pokey. I love that. That's very clever. By the way, ran into a guy yesterday at the rally, and we had a lot of Hispanics there, by the way. I mean, it was a really diverse crowd of folks. It was really exciting. So anyway, this guy comes and says, Todd, the crime is so bad in our neighborhood, even the legal Hispanics are moving out. It's that bad. I'm telling you. All right, let's go to Ocala, Florida. Sonny wants to weigh in on pea booty juice.
Talking about Pete Buttigieg indirectly, Kat Kamek, who is the congresswoman for District 3 here in Florida, about 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago, she had a baby. I called up the office, her office, Washington, D.C. office this morning. She's the only one that really has people working and answering phones. That's another thing. But I called up to mention something about what the Democrats were proposing to vote on something. And I mentioned it to her. So I asked how she's doing. Oh, she's doing well. Oh, yeah? She's back at work, and her baby is with her in Washington. Pete Buttigieg took 6 months off for maternity leave, and his better half, I guess, needed the maternity leave also to take care of their adopted baby. You know, there is a slight difference, I think, between the Democrats and true Republicans. We know we got rhinos, but that's besides the point. The Democrats rule or something, I don't know what. But the point of the matter is, Kat Kamek, the congresswoman from District 3 in Florida, and she's back to work after having a baby about 2 months ago or 8 weeks or 2 months. It's unbelievable to me. And I asked, how is she doing? She's doing fine. She's back to work.
So you're saying that Pete Buttigieg, and by the way, it's 2 months, not 6 months, but it was a very long time. He took maternity leave when he and his husband purchased those two babies. And you're telling me that Kat Kamick, who actually gave birth to her baby, she was already back at work, back on the job.
You got it. That's it. That's my main thing, to bring out the point between people that want to work and represent their people and other ones there that are up there just to represent themselves.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe Pete had complications. We don't know. But it took some time to do the whole chest feeding, the whole nine yards. But it's a valid point here, and you're absolutely right. Pete Buttigieg, who purchased two babies, two newborns, bought them down at, I don't know, Babies R Us, and he took 2 months, and then Kat Kamick right back on the job. Good point there, Sonny. Good hearing from you, my friend. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. The team has compiled categories of trivia from modern movies to Green Acres to Leave It to Beaver to the Andy Griffith Show. This is going to be fun. All right, where shall we? Oh yes, I love this question. All right, we're gonna try to. We'll start with Green Acres. This is a fun show. Here we go, Green Acres. It was part of the CBS lineup back in the 1960s, and there was a town. We need to know the name of the town where Green Acres was located. So if you can tell us the name of the town where Green Acres happened, give us a call. Was it Johnson Junction? Was it Pixley? Was it Hooterville or Crawwell Corners? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926 if you know the answer. There's a bizarre story involving a county fair. And this is in Ashland County, Ohio. It turns out that at the state fair, the local Democrat Party was selling their products. They had their wares out. And like many other political parties, they'll have buttons, you know, the little campaign buttons. In Ashland County, the Democrats were providing buttons that had the red MAGA cap that had the words fascist, felon, fascism, and resist. Red hats, white letters. But there were also some other things. Every one of the buttons had the term 8647, which is code for assassinating President Trump. Every single one of them, all the buttons. Also, one of the buttons simply said, "Is he dead yet?" Talking about President Trump. Well, we can now report that the Ashland County Sheriff's Office is investigating. We also understand that they were kicked out of the county fair, and the Democrat Party was told to pack up their booth, and they would not be allowed back in. And I say, good for them. But now we understand the sheriff is investigating this very dangerous situation in Ashland County, Ohio, at the state fair. Who does this kind of, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats, I am telling you, this is a possessed party. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Vicki in North Carolina. Hi, Vicki, how are you today?
Okay, thanks. How are you, Todd?
You know, I'm well. Thank you for asking, Vicki. Were you a big fan of Green Acres growing up?
I'm not a big fan, but I do know about the show.
Well, if farm living's the life for me, then, you know, that's your show. But, you know, if New York is your state of mind, butchering the lyrics, but you get the point there, I hope.
Yes.
All right. Vicki, where was Green Acres located?
Hooterville.
Yes, you are correct. You know, Vicki, it's interesting. Uh-oh. Yeah, you got it right there. You know, a lot of gentlemen, when they call in, they say it's Hootersville, but it's not plural. However, our phones were loaded with Hooters today, so
that's right.
It's Hooterville.
Yep.
All right. Hey, congratulations, Vicki, and we're going to get you hooked up with a signed copy of one of my books, and thank you for being our first trivia winner for the day.
Thank you.
All right, don't go anywhere, Vicki. We're going to get your info there. Dylan, I looked over, and it was like, Hooter, 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 Hooter. Cassie was busy.
It's way better than Hooters.
She had to abbreviate.
Yes, she did.
So what are you gonna do? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight on the Newsmax show, we have got a lot going on. Jack Posobiec is going to be joining us, a good friend of Charlie Kirk's. Also, we're going to be talking to the president of the College Republicans at New York University. These guys and girls came under fire. They were attacked last night. And we're going to talk to the chair of the local party there at the college to find out what exactly is going on and what college Republicans, college conservative kids are having to go through. All of that tonight, 5 o'clock on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. By the way, if after you watch my show, you got to stick around and watch Rob Finnerty. President Trump, big fan, says his show is terrific. Millions of people are now watching Finnerty every night at 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. And all this week, Rob is looking at the media's war on President Trump. He's giving you the facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. He's also telling you the real truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files and revealing the big media's agenda on President Trump's health. That's why you need to watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Check out your local cable system. Newsmax on all major systems. You can also download the free Newsmax app. It costs absolutely nothing. You can watch in just minutes. Finnerty, the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. Find out why more than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we are real news for real people. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break. More trivia coming up. Hey, head over to toddstearns.com. Check out all of our great stories, our content. Download our podcast, our newsletter. There's a lot of stuff for you to do over there. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and it is Friday. And we're having a little bit of fun with trivia today, and we are going to go to the Andy Griffith Show, and I know we have a lot of Andy Griffith Show fans. This is old school, old school. So here is the question. The Darlings are coming, one of the great episodes. The Darlings are coming. What unusual instrument does Briscoe Darling play in his family's band? What is that weird musical instrument that Briscoe Darling played in his family's musical band? And I have to presume that we do have some of the Darlings music when we find a winner to this. So let's try to find some of that. But again, the Darlings episode, the Darlings are coming in the Andy Griffith Show. What unusual instrument does Briscoe Darling play? Give us a call, 901-260-5926, if you know the answer. Well, this is an interesting story coming out of the world of Generation Z. And the more I see stories like this, the more I like this generation. Actually, I love this generation. These are great conservative patriots. As a matter of fact, there was a survey out a week or so ago, and they said that Generation Z may very well be the most conservative generation since World War II. And that says a lot of great things for the future of America. So anyway, here is the story. The Gen Z now bringing back flip phones. And the question is, are the young people of America now turning their back on tech? According to the report, Gen Z is embracing flip phones to rethink their digital habits, balancing data privacy concerns with smart, intentional tech use, shaping the future of the digital world on their own terms. In a surprising twist, young people are using dumb phones again. But no, it's not a Luddite renaissance. It's a reflection of how Gen Z are rethinking their relationship to smartphones, social media, and all the data that they're asked to share every day. I remember those phones. Dylan, were you of that age when you had a flip phone, or did you were we doing the smartphones?
Mine was way better. I had the slide up phone.
Really?
You slide it up in your keyboards there.
Oh, what, man, that is old school.
It felt fancy at the time because the flip phones felt old at the time. So now that flip phones are coming back, I don't know what happens to slide phones.
I had a BlackBerry back in the day.
The Razor?
I'm not sure.
No, that's the Motorola.
Yeah, that's the
BlackBerry.
Yeah.
And then there was the Motorola Razor, which was like the OG flip phone.
No, I had the original pager, right? It just had like a little tiny screen.
No iPhone games.
No, none whatsoever. But are you noticing that in your friend group, though? I mean, you're kind of the older, you're in the mid-20s.
Yeah, 26. I haven't seen any of my friends get it yet, but I've definitely seen this trend online of a lot of people, because you're right, they want to get away from all the noise out there, and social media is just toxic. So
it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that, like, a lot of the younger family members in our little group, you guys aren't on social media much at all.
Yeah. I think we're starting to realize that it's toxic, so it's better to just hang out in person.
Really?
Go outside some.
Oh, what's up? What's the fun of that?
Some grass, maybe.
What are you guys doing with all your time?
I play video games.
Of course you do.
I'm not a good example of my generation.
I knew the answer to that question.
Yeah.
All right, 901-260-5926. I'm wondering if you've discovered that with your Gen Zer. Have they pushed back and said, you know, I really don't want the smartphone. I'd rather go with the flip phone. They're called minimalist phones. Is that what are they called? The landline. Do your parents still have a landline, Dylan?
No.
Really?
Not anymore.
Okay.
We don't have a yellow book either. I used to look through that thing just to find
yellow
numbers.
Pages.
Yeah,
the yellow pages.
Sorry.
The yellow pages.
It's that thick book you can never actually rip.
Well, you know, the challenge here is with the yellow pages, they used to serve dual purposes. So when you had like a toddler and you needed them to reach the table, you'd just pile up the phone books. Honest to goodness, that's how we used to do it back in the day.
Beats a cushion.
It does. And also, you could beat the living daylights out of somebody with one of those things. It's yellow pages. You have the yellow pages and the white pages.
Yeah.
So
I don't know the difference.
Well, the yellow page, somebody will call. You know what? I'm going to let somebody call in and explain this one to you.
Good.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, please call in and explain the difference between yellow pages and white pages to my Gen Z staff. Let's go to the phones here. Connie in Georgia. Hi, Connie. How are you today?
I am great. I got through to you.
Yes, you did. We have full lines, Connie. Full lines.
And oh, really?
We're going to try to win you a prize here. Were you a big Andy Griffith Show fan back in the day?
Of course I was. Still am.
Can I tell you, I am too. I watched a couple of episodes this week, Connie. I just had to escape.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one to watch.
All right. Well, we're going to try to help you. We're going to try to help you win a prize here. There was an episode called The Darlings Are Coming. And Briscoe Darling played an unusual instrument. What was that instrument?
The first thing that came to my mind was a jug.
A one, a two, and away we go.
Yee-hoo! Connie, we got to start dancing, Connie. You're a winner. Hold on, Connie. Let's listen in.
One gal still, one gal watched the boiler, the other watched the spout. And Mama corked the bottles when old Dooley fetched them out. Dooley slipping up the holler, Dooley trying to make a dollar. Dooley,
come on, sing along, Connie.
The revenuers came for him.
All right, there you go, Connie. You know, it's interesting. The Darlings, everybody thought they were a real life bluegrass band. They were not. But they were a different band in real life, and they were called the Dillards.
Oh, wow. I love bluegrass music, so I always love those episodes.
You know, years ago, there, and they may still do it, but up in northeast Georgia, and I want to think it's Habersham County, I think they used to have a huge bluegrass festival back in the day. I mean, thousands of people would come out. I love bluegrass music.
Yes, I do too.
Connie, congratulations. We're gonna. By the way, Connie, we got you on the line here. Can you help me out to explain to Dylan the difference between the yellow pages and the white pages?
The yellow pages are people, and the white pages are people, and the yellow pages are businesses.
There you go. That's it.
Oh, thank you, Connie.
Okay. I'm glad you know now.
Only had yellow pages. I don't think we had the white pages, but it's good to know the difference now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I don't miss those days.
No.
All right, Connie, hang tight. Congratulations. We're going to get you a prize on the way, and well done you. All right, there you go, Dylan. You learned something new.
Now we just have it all in one contacts app.
But
where's the fun in that? Let's bring it back.
So here's my concern, and I don't know if anybody else stays up late. I'm about to share something. I've been trying to figure out if I should share this or not, and I think I may be about to overshare with my audience. And so, guys, bear with me here, Dylan, but I was thinking about this when I was up late one night this week. And should I explain why I was up late?
You have to now. You're too far in.
This is terrible. All right, here we go. This is why let me explain. I'll explain what I was thinking about first, because that will get lost in the reason I was up. So I was reading a book just about EMPs and what would happen if, you know, we lost power, for the grid was gone, and if the internet just completely up and quit on us, what would society look like? And would we be able to function as a society? Because, I mean, even in the 1980s, you know, we were getting to a point where you didn't really need to know basic stuff because, you know, technology could handle it. So anyway, I was just up late one night, Dylan, you think about that kind of stuff. You know, what would I do? So I actually, that's why I have a lot of books. So I've got like farmers' almanacs and, you know, how to garden and how to, you know, create electricity and all that kind of stuff. In the event we lose the grid, at least we'll have power here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So anyway, I was, they just opened up a brand new Chipotle in my community. I was very excited, but so I thought I'd have a late dinner, and that's a problem because when you eat late, you get indigestion, right? So it was like, I don't know, midnight-ish, get up, and I keep the Pepto in the fridge. And I also keep the milk of magnesia in the fridge. And I didn't even bother to measure it out. I just I was having a bad case of indigestion. So I just took a giant, giant, supersized gulp. And about 45 minutes later, I bolted up out of bed and I realized very quickly and for the rest of the morning that I had not gulped down the Pepto, I had gulped down the milk of magnesia.
Mm.
It was not a natural cleanse. I'll just leave it at that. So,
wow. I don't know if I should say thank you for sharing, because I don't know if I am.
You know, the lesson here is always just don't reach into the fridge and pull something out with the lights out. Right? That's the lesson here.
And learn how to survive.
The other lesson is I think I did just overshare. I think I just blew through that. All right.
No pun intended.
No. Stop. Stop. That's just terrible. Oh, geez, Lou. All right, we need another trivia question. Stop it, Dylan. Jeez, Lou. It was explosive. All right, who was Aunt B's best friend and the notorious town gossip in Mayberry? Again, this is Andy Griffith Show trivia today. Aunt B's best friend and the notorious gossip in Mayberry. Who was that? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
I
All right, coming up next week, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I'll be speaking at the Spiritual Leadership Conference at West Coast Baptist College. I'll be speaking Sunday at Lancaster Baptist Church, and looking forward to being with our good friend, Dr. Paul Chappell. He's been a regular guest on the show, and it's really not only, it's for me, it is work. We'll be doing a lot of book signings, but for me, it is just really a great time to step back and get into the Word and enjoy great Christian fellowship. Mary Walter is going to be filling in all next week, and I know you guys love Mary, and I want you to light up the phones and make her feel right at home here on the show all next week, and then I'll be back. We're going to be literally traveling across, crisscrossing America for the next 3 weeks with a lot of events. Also going to be in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks. I'll be emceeing a big event with Eric Trump, and we'll tell you more about that coming up as well. All right, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to say hello to Kenny in North Carolina. Hi, Kenny. How are you today?
Just fine, Todd.
Kenny, we're going to try to win you a prize here. We're talking about the Andy Griffith Show. I don't know if I've ever really sat down and thought about it, but why do you think Andy Griffith, that show really resonated with the American people?
I think it was just because it was just good, wholesome American humor.
Kind of people could relate to it. That sounds like my old hometown.
Yeah, down home values.
Well, that's it. Maybe it's as simple as that. All right. Well, let's try to win you a prize here. We're talking about Aunt Bee's best friend. She was also a notorious gossip. Who are we talking about?
That'd be Clara Edwards.
Yes, that's right, Kenny. Clara Edwards, Aunt Bee's BFF, or Bae, as the young people call it. Dylan, the young people don't
call
it?
Not anymore, no.
What?
It's a new word. I think BFF's back.
Kenny, were you aware of that? I thought we could call people Bae's now.
I just knew it was BFF.
Kenny was old school, but now he's new school again. He didn't know that there was a change. Of course, I just found it a couple of weeks ago, so what does that say about me, Kenny?
Yeah.
Well, this is...
I got an embarrassing piece of trivia for you.
Uh-oh. All right.
Aunt Bee.
Yes.
Frances Bauvier.
Yes.
She retired in North Carolina, and she's buried in Siler City.
That's right.
Well, I've actually got a couple of aunts and uncles that are buried in the same cemetery as her, and one of my aunts and uncles are buried literally next to her. They're 15 feet from her grave.
Is that right? Well,
mm-hmm. My Aunt Mary and my Uncle Wade.
You know, she was a bit of a recluse. A lot of people didn't know that, but she was really sort of a quiet person, and she did not do much socializing.
No, she didn't. It was sad the way she actually passed away.
She did not. Yeah, it was a rough ending to that life. But yeah, she was. She lived a pretty sparse life in her later years. A very quiet, as they say. And I don't believe she ever married either. So, but again, yeah, Frances Bauvier, a great lady there. All right, Kenny, congratulations. You are the winner. And we're going to put you on hold and get all of your information. Let's go to the phone lines. Louise in Toccoa, Georgia. That's a pretty town. Hi, Louise. What's on your mind today?
You have there's so much it would take days to tell you.
Uh-oh. Well, pick something. Pick one subject.
I can't. But let me tell you something else. Y'all talking about phone books?
Yes.
I bet most people don't know what party lines were either back then.
Dylan, are you familiar with party lines? We're going to ask Dylan here. Well, I know what a party line is.
I learned about party line on your show, Todd.
All right. Louise, tell our listeners. We have a lot of young listeners. They may not know what a party line is.
Well, and when I was growing up, I'm 73 years old now, people you could have a private line, but you had to pay extra for it. But a party line was, for God, you could have six people on the same line, and most of them listened to each other's conversation because they'd pick the phone up to use it. There'd be two people talking, they just listened to their conversation. So everybody knew everybody's business back in the 50s and 60s.
Well, I guarantee you, Clara Edwards had a party line on the Andy Griffith Show.
Sure must have been.
Remember? Yeah, I remember that. Sarah. Sarah was the name of the operator, by the way, on the old Andy Griffith Show. That's,
yeah, I couldn't answer many of those questions.
Well,
y'all
it's
been
okay.
Doing.
You don't,
sir.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead, Louise.
Well, it's like a little monologue. If you won't cut me off, I appreciate it because I hadn't bothered you in a long time.
Well, I've got about, I only have about 40 seconds here, or the computer's going to cut us off, Louise.
Well, forget it. I'll just have to wait until another time.
Okay. Well, look, Louise, it's good hearing from you. And thank you for educating folks on those party lines. That's a fun bit of trivia from back in the day. Louise, you be good out there in Toccoa, Georgia. Beautiful college. There's a college out there. And years ago, I was a commencement speaker there. And just a beautiful, beautiful place. All right. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. Coming up, we'll dip and dive into the news, some more trivia as well. Hang tight. We're going to try to get some more winners before all is said and done here. 901-260-5926. It's open line Friday as well. If you want to do like Louise, you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Hang tight. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour three underway and a lot going on. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. And we have Andrew Krapuschets joining us. And Andrew, good to have you with us today. And we appreciate all the great work that you guys are doing there at Red Balloon.
Well, always nice to talk to you, Todd. How are you doing today?
All right. Well, thank you very much for asking. So we've been seeing a lot of reports around the nation about Charlie Kirk and people getting fired for mocking the assassination of Charlie. And I know you guys have been all over this.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, a lot of conservatives are taking a little pause on this, right? Because we remember the COVID years when people were losing their job and getting canceled because they weren't towing the woke line with whether it was on social media or any other place. And so they're like, wait a minute, are we reintroducing cancel culture? But and I would firmly say I do not know that the FCC should be involved in this necessarily, but the free market has spoken with Jimmy Kimmel and with so many others. And if a private employer decides that they want to fire a person because they represented the company poorly and maybe turned away customers, I fired plenty of salespeople who lied to a customer or who did not represent my company well. We should have a right to work situation where employers can make those decisions. I'm not totally sold on the FCC getting involved, deciding that they're going to use the strong arm of government to make that type of decision. I think the free market was already making that decision for Jimmy Kimmel as an example. But yes, there's lots of people who are scratching their heads on that one. And I think at least the Jimmy Kimmel one is very clear what needed to happen there.
Well, I think when you look at Jimmy Kimmel, and it's pretty clear from, I mean, there were several layers here. You had ABC News, or rather Disney, the company that controlled ABC, and, you know, they've got a financial stake here. Then you have the affiliates that carry the show, and they're getting a lot of blowback from their local advertisers and their local audience.
That's right. And Todd, you know this as well as anyone. If when you have a great show, and people want to listen to it, that's how that show continues to succeed. And in fact, that's your job. And that was Jimmy Kimmel's job. But he had kind of transitioned away from late night comedy to really just being political vitriol towards Donald Trump every single night, and no one was watching the show. And so what I don't want to happen, and I'm afraid people are trying to do, is they're trying to take the victim card away from, you know, the Kirk family, who just lost their father, just lost their husband, and they want to direct it towards someone who lost their job because he was pushing a political ideology on late night television. And I definitely don't want him to be able to claim that victim card. And I do want people to realize that if you do well at your job, you should keep your job. And if you don't do well at your job, you should lose your job, right? And I know that sounds like rocket science, but that is the free market, and that's the way we want the free market to act right now. And that's what we're doing at Red Balloon, obviously, pushing on free market principles in the economy and letting people earn their job through merit and not through DEI and all the crazy things that have been inflicting the labor market over the last several years.
Well, you know, on top of the ABC story and the Jimmy Kimmel story, there was another issue just a few days ago when you had the Attorney General coming out and saying, well, you know, if a company like Office Depot and you've got somebody coming in and they want flyers printed, you have to print those flyers. In this particular instance, it was a Charlie Kirk memorial service flyer. The local employees refused to do that. And now Pam Bondi is saying, you know, they may have broken the law. Again, I think Supreme Court cases would say otherwise. And the issue, right. It seems to me, again, this is a market issue, a free market issue, where the consumers should have the final say, not the federal government's coming in and saying, you've got to do this, Office Depot.
That's absolutely right. And this decision was very concerning to me because, you know, we remember years ago when, you know, the homosexual couple wanted a cake baked for them. And the baker is allowed to say, I am going to decide who I'm not going to serve. Now, if Office Depot decides that they don't want to create Charlie Kirk banners and posters, that is their decision. Now, the market should respond to that, and that person should be free to get on social media and say, this company doesn't support this, and that should hurt them in the marketplace. We've seen that with Target. We saw that with Bud Light. Let the marketplace deal with them, some of those things. I'm not at all excited about Pam Bondi jumping into that type of decision because it sets just a really bad precedent because all of a sudden, if the federal government, whoever's in office, because right now we've got great people in office, but we don't know who will be there in the future, if they can decide what you're allowed to do as a business and force you into behavior that you're uncomfortable with, that is a very dangerous precedent. And look, Charlie Kirk was a godly, wonderful man. He was a friend. He loved Red Balloon. We worked together. And so clearly mourning loss. I do not want I abhor the fact that employee decided that they wouldn't post that or print those posters. But at the end of the day, you got to let the market work on this, not government, because we want our government smaller, not bigger, and pushing on more and more mandates.
Yeah. And Andrew, a Red Balloon, I think, is vitally important, especially and it's been important for a very long time, but especially now when we're getting to realize there is a large segment of the population that believes it's okay to kill people you disagree with, that it's okay to use violence to shut down speech you disagree with. And honestly, as a business owner, I don't want somebody like that employed in the company that I own. And I think that's where Red Balloon really comes into play here, because you guys really are all about America, the number one pro-America job board and talent recruiter.
That's exactly right. I mean, you think about all those people, and really it's been millions of people who've been online celebrating the death of a godly father and husband in America, the assassination, the public assassination of a public figure. Well, you realize those people were interviewed at one point, they got an offer letter, and they're working at your business. And we have to know that worldview will have an impact on performance. That's just the way the world works. And so if you as an employer don't want to hire those people, obviously that's where Red Balloon comes in, because hiring somebody like that, we talked to an employer just recently, they had hired an activist. They're like, it's not that big a deal. It's a $15 an hour job. And after about a $75,000 lawsuit trying to get rid of this person, they're like, man, I never want to hire someone like that again. And so even as the pendulum is swinging culturally back in a very good direction, and we're very encouraged by that in a lot of ways through the election, the labor market and the hiring world is still very, very critical that you don't need everyone to line up exactly with their worldview where, you know, that you all believe exactly the same thing. But you do want people who don't hate America, and you do want people who don't hate capitalism and actually want you to make money and are okay with you making money. And obviously that's what we've been passionate about at Red Balloon. But whether you're using Red Balloon or not, you need to be thinking very carefully about the people you hire, because your culture is built by the sum total of your employees. And if you have the wrong employees in there, you are going to have some real concerns about your business going forward.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I'm not going to name any names here, but in the journalism world, especially the conservative media sphere, you can tell, and you know, every now and again, you'll see, you know, a news organization and they sort of go towards the left. And you're like, well, wait a second, when did that happen? And I can tell you, because I've seen it firsthand, it's because they're not hiring conservatives. And you've got to keep your eye on that kind of stuff. And especially if your business model relies on, you know, adhering to conservative or biblical values.
Absolutely. In fact, I hate to keep bringing up war stories, but there was a conservative media influencer who will remain nameless. Before he started working with Red Balloon, he'd hired people who were actively trying to destroy what he was doing because he was standing up for conservative values. He was living his values out loud, and he was very vocal about it, and he had millions of people following him on YouTube and other places. And lo and behold, these employees were actually taking a paycheck to leak financials, to unplug servers on weekends, to break things in the office because they hated the worldview of the person they were working for. Man, you do not want to hire a traitor, and we know that. But sometimes you're desperate as an employer, like, man, I just need someone who can actually do this job. But just be careful. It would be better to be understaffed than poorly staffed when it comes to kind of the litigious labor market that we're in today. And we're trying to help with that. But yes, it's really, really important for these employers.
All right. So people out there, they're wanting a job. Maybe they're looking to hire somebody. They go to redballoon.work. And what do they need to do to get plugged in? Because I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to get plugged in.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's free for job seekers. We see people who are looking for work. You know, they're in a vulnerable position. We want to make sure that we're not charging them anything. Everything is absolutely free, ton of free resources. You can fill out your profile and then employers can start to find you. And it's funny because we actually have this funny world that's going on. There's a lot of AI that's entering the job market, and we're trying to push back against that. But maybe that's a discussion for another day. But you go to redballoon.work. And also redballoon.work just acquired militaryhire.com because we love our vets. And we're now starting to help vets at scale. So if you're an employer and you want values-aligned employees who are going to help build the culture that you established and not tear it down, that's what redballoon.work is all about. And we love the Todd Starn Show because it's really important for people to be thinking clearly and then hiring well.
Yeah, well said. All right, Andrew, we're going to leave it there. But again, folks, go check out redballoon.work. That's redballoon.work. It's a wonderful resource if you're looking for a job and if you are looking to hire people. And I can tell you that we've used Red Balloon, and they are an amazing group of folks to work with. So go check them out, redballoon.work. Andrew, good hearing from you, my friend.
Nice to talk to you. Have a great day, everybody.
All right, you do as well. All right, Andrew Krapuschets from redballoon.work. And that's just mind-boggling. That you've got, but sure enough, I mean, when you look at some of the conservative, you know, journalism sites out there, and you've noticed, oh, wait a second, they've kind of gone a little wokish. Well, that's because they're not hiring conservatives. And I'm just saying right now, I don't care who you are. If you're a conservative organization, you're a Christian organization, you need to be hiring conservatives and you need to be hiring Christians. Otherwise, things are going to get squirrely very quickly. And that's one of the reasons we love redballoon.work. Okay, got to take a quick break. Before we do, though, let's go to the phone lines. Dan in Cleveland, Georgia, has a very interesting Andy Griffith Show fun fact. Hi, Dan. What you got for us?
Just a quick comment on Andy Griffith Show. Everybody on the show was single except Otis, and he was a drunk. Is there a message there?
Well, it could be. Dan, what kind of a message would that be, sir?
I'm not going to comment. I'm married. I'm not about to comment on that.
Yeah, if you want supper tonight, you might want to not answer that question. Dan, that's a great observation. Thank you for calling in, my friend. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. So I think really moving forward, you know, all companies, especially if you're a company owned by Christians, you have conservative values, you're going to have to use things like redballoon.org just to make sure you're hiring the right people, because you just don't want to hire people that are going to be working against your company's mission. We actually had somebody come in and apply. This is sort of funny. And, man, they checked off all the boxes, you know. I mean, a very well-qualified person. Anyway, they called us back. The interview went well. You know, no, you know, red flags or anything, nothing weird of the sort. Anyway, we got a message back the day after from this individual. And they said, oh, I didn't realize you guys were a conservative news talk station. You don't share my values, so I'm not interested. And so I'm like, yeah, well, neither are we, so good luck to you. Best of luck to you. Jeez the Lou. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Statesville, North Carolina. Patty, what's on your mind, Patty?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Listen, I just wanted to tell Dylan, you know, back when in 1975, my parents got me a teenager's telephone. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Okay. They had their own phone. They had a phone in the kitchen. They had a phone in their bedroom. But they got me a phone when I was 15. It was a pink phone. But I had my own phone. But if you looked in the phone book, it would be my parents who were in the phone book. And then I would be underneath them, teenager's telephone.
Really? So it would still be your parents' number, but you would have your own line or something?
Right.
Oh.
They got me that at 15. And I remember it's 1975. And, yeah, and that's crazy, right? I mean, it was called teenager's cell phone. But you know what I liked about back in those days, Todd, when we were growing up? We could actually crank people. I mean,
oh, yes.
I would call and say, listen, did your husband take, because I lived in Jersey at the time, did your husband take the Verrazano Bridge home? And, well, tell him to put it back because his car's waiting to get over.
my uncle Don and Aunt Patty in West Memphis, Arkansas, they were the fun aunt and uncle. So we would go over there, and one night they taught us. This is terrible. They taught us how to prank call.
Oh, yeah.
These are grown adults.
I mean, we did it all the time. I mean, is your refrigerator running? Would you go get it? It's going up the block. Go get it. Go catch it.
Yeah, the whole thing. Is your refrigerator running, sir?
I mean, you know what? It was so innocent back then. Wasn't it, Todd? It was innocent.
It really was, yeah. I remember we actually re-rigged a potato gun to shoot toilet paper rolls. So when you would roll somebody's house, you could actually like stand in the front yard and fire the potato gun, and it would literally unravel the toilet paper over the entire house.
It was pretty bad.
Those were the good old days.
I don't know if you had it down south, but. Up north, we would have a mischief night before Halloween. And my parents would actually give us eggs. They would actually say, okay, you could go do this one's house. Kidding. I mean, but it was all in fun.
Did you ever manure somebody's windshield? They did that
no,
in the country.
My brother and his friends, they did in front of the house. They would light it on fire.
Oh, yeah, that's just good old-fashioned fun. Just kids having a...
You know what, Todd? What happened to those days? You know what? I'm 65 now, and, you know, God's taking care of me. Thank you. And you want to know something? I'll be honest with you. I just don't know what happened. What happened to the world, Todd? What happened? Where'd it go?
It's gone squirrely, Patty. Gone squirrely. Hey, gotta run, my friend. It's great hearing from you. You sound good. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Let's go to the phone lines. Beth is calling us from the Chick-fil-A drive-thru in Germantown, Tennessee. Hi, Beth. How are you today?
I'm great now that I've got my food.
So you've been able to, are you still in the drive-thru or you've already gotten your food?
No, I've got my food now. Lickety-split.
Wow, they just did the whole redesign, and they've really got a state-of-the-art drive-thru system there. Do we still have Beth?
I would talk, but my mouth is full of food.
Well, you do have your priorities in the right place, but not necessarily. It doesn't make for good talk radio, Beth.
Exactly. No, I just wanted to call in. I was listening earlier when you were talking about the phone books and not understanding what they were for. And I said, I think our education has definitely declined because we don't have phone books anymore.
What do you mean by that?
Because, when you have your phone book, you have to know your alphabet.
Well, that's true.
You got to be able to find the names in the right alphabetical order. And people around nowadays don't know their alphabet.
Well, you know,
when you're searching for something at work and somebody's filed it and you're like, why would you have put that in this order? Well, it had an A in it.
You know, this is a great point, Beth. I'll give you an example of this in the supermarket. I haven't ever understood why the Lipton onion soup mix was not actually in the soup aisle where you think it would be. But for some reason, the Kroger I shop at, they always put it someplace else.
That's crazy.
It drives me nuts. And then you're driving around your cart and, you got places to go and, you know, people are, you know, I go to the Kroger in Germantown and it's always packed with folks.
Yes.
There's one day, and I can't remember which day it is, and I love senior citizens, I do, but I don't love them when they're grocery shopping, Beth.
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday's Senior Citizens Day.
Thank you. And they're always in the self-checkout line, and I'm like, this is not the...
Oh, man.
I love you, I honor you, I respect you, but this is not the place for you.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, I don't go through self-checkouts because I've already put in 8 hours at work, and I haven't got the Employee of the Year award here at this Kroger, so I'm pretty sure I'm not going to, you know, work. For Kroger. I don't want to check my own grocery sale.
Beth, what'd you order?
8 hours.
What'd you order at Chick-fil-A, Beth?
Oh, well, I try to be healthy, so I got the kale salad, and then my naughty side got a small order of French fries, or the waffle fries.
All right, that's kind of weird.
Nope. I know, but it's delicious.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I can't do the kale, but I'm still missing their... I miss their old carrot salad.
Oh, yes, me too. That was so good.
That was the jam.
Very, very good. It was. I definitely miss it.
Indeed.
Maybe we can start something to bring it back.
Oh, start like a petition drive.
I mean, something.
It worked for Cracker Barrel. Can we just say Chick-fil-A went woke? Bring back the carrots. What's wrong with you?
Bring back the carrot salad.
You liberals.
What do you have against rabbits? Bring back the carrot salad.
The next thing you know, you're going to be serving vegan chicken.
Oh. Oh,
yeah, I think we could stir up some wrath.
I think so, too. I know my mother used to say, you are just a little troublemaker.
And you're like, who, me? Sweet me?
And I'm like,
innocent me?
Everything I know, I learned from my mother.
Well, there you go. All right, Beth.
And I think that got me a little pop on the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Yeesh. Jeez, Lou. And sometimes they'd use the phone book, depending on how big of a town you lived in.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Beth, enjoy lunch.
All right. You too. Have a great day.
All right. There you go. Beth in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru taking care of business. She didn't get chicken, though.
You know, they actually did try the vegan chicken, right?
Oh, I forgot.
Remember
about
that?
That did not last very long.
The cauliflower chicken breast?
That's right. What happened to that?
They got rid of it because nobody ordered it.
I tried to eat it, but my tongue and lip said no.
Yeah.
I actually went out there and I was going to order one.
You're brave.
And I got it up and the lips were like, no. No.
Something ain't right here.
And the tongue was like, bad tot. Bad tot. So I just threw it away.
It's a smart thing to do.
It also started with an aftertaste before it even got in your mouth. Mm-hmm. That was the problem with it.
It's a vegetable.
It is. It has no place at Chick-fil-A. Go to Whole Foods if you want that kind of stuff. Let's go to Jerry, North Little Rock, Arkansas, wants to weigh in on Andy Griffith. Hi, Jerry. What's up?
Hello, Todd. I love the Andy Griffith Show. I've always loved the Andy Griffith Show since I was a kid, born in 64. The only thing that ever really bothered, and it still bothers me to this day, Todd, about the Andy Griffith Show is Helen Crump. She's not a bad person. She's not a dislikable character, but she'd be just fine if Miss Ellie down at the drugstore had never existed. Miss Ellie was funnier. Miss Ellie had a better personality. Miss Ellie was more charming. Miss Ellie was just as smart. Opie liked Miss Ellie better. But most important, Miss Ellie was just a babe.
What? I don't think I've ever heard anybody on the Andy Griffith Show referred to as a babe.
Well, you know, I'm
Maybe Aunt B, but... So,
am I the only person who thinks that way?
So, well, I don't know, Jerry. You know, it kind of sounds like this is a Betty or Veronica kind of an issue. Are you more of a Betty guy or Veronica, you know, from the old Archie comics?
I never studied on Archie, but I'm definitely a Marianne versus Ginger.
Oh, well, there you, so you're more the wholesome type.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, so you're saying that Helen might have been more vixenish as opposed to sweet Ellie down at the drugstore.
You know, it probably just all boils down to, besides, I stand by Miss Ellie had a much better personality. Miss Crump's haircut, oh my goodness. It's just not. Miss Ellie's just, I like her better.
No, Helen Crump had a mannish kind of a haircut. It's, you know, it is what it is.
Come on, Todd, agree with me. What do you really
think? No, I hear you. I've never really thought of it quite like that. That was a little bit before my time. I grew up with the Brady Bunch, and then you had Marcia and Jan, and everybody loved Marcia.
Yeah, Marcia's a good one. She was my favorite. She was probably my favorite Brady girl. By the way, just for the record,
yeah.
Best TV dads of all time, Andy Griffith, Red Foreman, and Hank Hill.
Well, no doubt about that. Have you seen the new Hank? Have you seen the new, you know, they updated the cartoon?
Yes, and I haven't seen it yet. I've tried to avoid it all.
I hate it when they do that. Yeah, they mess with a good thing. All right.
Well, I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah. Jerry, we got to leave it there, my friend. Thank you for calling in. Time for another trivia question. We need to know the name of the gas station where Gomer and Goober Pyle worked. Gomer and Goober Pyle, what was the name of the filling station? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We got a kickback. You know what I mean? It's been an insane news cycle, And it's going to be a rough weekend with the memorial service, and it's just tough. So we've got to be able to kick back for a few minutes on the radio. And I can't think of every time. I don't know why I do this, and maybe it's a lot cheaper than therapy. I just go back and watch old episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. And then everything's okay. Everything is okay, except for the kerosene pickles. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Robert in Mills River, North Carolina. Hi, Robert. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd. How are you today?
Robert, I'm good. Thank you for asking.
I want to say that. Bless his family and bless his little kids there and all, you know. Yeah, I just wanted to say I want to answer that trivia question. I want to ask you one.
Okay, you know, go ahead. What's the question?
Do you know the two people you always hear on the show but you never see?
I think one of them would be Sarah, the operator, right?
Uh-huh, that's right.
All right, who's the other one?
Juanita.
Oh.
On the telephone.
Juanita. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I never really thought about that. So, well, there you go, Robert. All right, so what's the name of that filling station that Gomer and Goober used to work at?
Wally's Filling Station.
Yeah, you knew that one. Yeah, absolutely. Robert, congratulations. You are the winner. Hang tight, Robert. We're going to get you a prize sent over to North Carolina, so don't go anywhere. Miss Cassie will get your information. You know, we got to go back to Green Acres for just a moment there. Okay. This is tough. This is a tough one. Got to go back to Green Acres. All right. There was a pig on Green Acres, right? And that pig had a name. Can you name the pig in Green Acres? Dylan, we had some weird TV shows back in the day.
Yeah, I've never saw Green Acres. So
You got to go back and watch it. It's old school fun, but there was a fictional pig. Well, it's a real pig, but the pig had a name. What was the name of the pig in Green Acres? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know what's interesting, Dylan, about this particular pig? It has its own Wikipedia page.
Is it accurate?
It's pretty accurate. Yeah, I mean it's it's as accurate as a pig can be.
Is it like a long-winded Wikipedia page? Has this pig been through a lot?
The pig has been through it's been through a lot. As a matter of fact, the pig was actually referenced in the diner scene in Pulp Fiction. Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Okay. Love that movie.
Yeah. There's also in there's a great TV sitcom back in the 1990s called News Radio, which was actually a very, very authentic portrayal of what it's like to work in news radio. And one of the characters was a big Green Acres fan, and in particular, the pig that we're talking about. I almost mentioned the pig's name.
This is a very famous pig, then.
Very famous pig. As a matter of fact, the pig had a trainer. People may not realize that, but this individual, the guy's by the name, his name is Frank N, and he actually trained all of the animals in like Petticoat Junction, Beverly Hillbillies, Green Acres. And back in, again, 1960, CBS was like the number one television network because of these kinds of shows. But the pig was so popular, Dylan, so popular that children would send in fan mail. And a class of sixth graders from Ohio actually wrote into the show and pledged to stop eating pork chops.
Wait, people became vegan for this pig?
People became vegan, at least they wouldn't eat pork.
I can't get past the fact that the pig had an acting coach and all these other animals.
Yeah.
How do I get that job?
It's a great gig. It's a great gig. Apparently, there were multiple pigs, so I guess they didn't have a lot. The longevity was not great on
it was a stunt double. It was a stunt double.
Stunt double. Jeez. All right. Let's go. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to try Doug. Doug in Georgia. Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doug, I'm doing well. I feel like I'm doing a great service to the nation here by educating Gen Z about some of the great sitcoms.
Absolutely.
Or maybe not. I don't know. But we're talking about Green Acres, and there's a specific pig. You know the pig I'm talking about. What's the name of the pig?
The pig's name was Arnold Ziffel.
Arnold Ziffel is correct. yeah, Arnold was not just a pig. I mean, he was like a central character to the entire show.
Yeah, my family had a campground up in Michigan, and the family name was Green, so they called this campground Green Acres. And we had our own Arnold at the campground.
Is that right? So
yep.
Arnold, you know, so Oliver Douglas, who was like, you know, the city guy, he came there. And so Arnold was treated like a human. And so, Dylan, that's kind of the shtick. Arnold the pig would go to, like, town meetings, play checkers, and they would lose. You know, Arnold Ziffel was, you know, very, very good at checkers.
That's insane.
I remember.
Mm-hmm. And they tried to explain to people that Arnold was just a pig, but nobody in the town wanted to believe, you know, that he was just a pig. They thought it was just, you know, one of the guys.
One of the best shows.
And then they were all very suspicious of Oliver Douglas because he could not communicate with Arnold the pig. So they thought he was crazy. But, yeah, back in the day, Dylan, Arnold Ziffel would write his name and change channels on the TV and watch the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Did this pig have, like, a middle name, too? Like, this is like a person at this point. This is not a pig.
Now, that would be silly. I mean, who would give a pig a middle name?
Well, maybe, like, a hyphenated name.
No, come on now, Dylan. Doug, you see what I'm dealing with here? I mean, that's just absurd. Giving a pig a middle name.
You can't create a young one.
We don't have animals like this in our shows that we watch. We don't have these famous pigs.
In the Wikipedia profile, he's listed as the species domestic pig.
So. I want one now.
Anyway, there is a bit of scandal, though, guys. Doug, by the way, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you hooked up with Miss Cassie here. There was a bit of scandal at one point in the TV series. There was an interspecies relationship. Arnold Ziffel fell in love with Mr. Haney's prized basset hound named Cynthia. But there was a scene full of pig grunts and dog barks. And then there were subtitles that their love could never be. You know, it was a very intolerant era in American history.
Yeah,
there was no dog on pig. Yeah, you can't go down that path.
Yeah, we're in a new world now.
It was never going to work.
That's true.
It was never going to work.
Now we have Shrek, where the donkey and the dragon, you know, we don't want to go down that path, probably.
However, the dog, the basset hound, actually started grunting like a pig. And so that led to a whole lot of questions. Something's not right. Something's not right. And a lot of people are saying that about the Todd Stern Show right now. Something is just a little off today. Can't put my finger on it, but something's off. All right, geez, Lou, is it really time to say goodbye? Thank the good Lord. Folks, it's been a weird day, and look, you hang in there. We're going to get through all this together, America, and that's what we do on this radio program. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, we've got the Todd Stern Show. Mary Walter filling in next week. I will be in Los Angeles. I'll try to phone in a time or two, let you know what's happening out there, and hope to see some of you at the conference as well. All right, get out there, folks. You have a great Friday. Want to give a shout-out to the Memphis Tigers going up against the Arkansas Razorbacks tomorrow. That's going to be a fun game. And by the way, whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.